For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
I pray you have. We all can learn out of the Word of God. We're going to be looking tonight at a very serious subject. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. We commit this word to you. And Lord, we know that you, by your Spirit, are speaking to us. I pray that every person here be abundantly blessed and there be a clear word, clear and clarity in revelation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we're looking at why was hell created? Why was hell created? It's a very serious subject, and because of some of the elements that are in this biblical teaching, some people don't look at it in detail like they should. So hell exists. The Bible, if you believe the Bible is very clear that without Christ, the whole world is guilty. We won't turn to it, but that's in Romans 3, verse 19. And that the whole world lies in wickedness. That's in 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that the world had a sin invasion come into it and corrupted it. By one man, sin entered into the world, the Bible tells us in Romans 5. So the world is in a fallen state and the world is made up of people. And the Bible tells us that when we're born again, we come into the kingdom of God. We can see that, for example, in John chapter 3. So it's only through the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, can one be saved from sin and its consequences, one of which is going to hell. God will not allow sin in his presence. And Jesus talked about those who would die in their sins. In other words, they die without their sin being dealt with. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice and his payment, the payment of his blood, has enabled us to be saved so that we can believe on him. And we'll look at some scriptures related to that. So on earth, it's important for us to understand that, on earth there are those who are saved and those who are unsaved. There's not those who are in between. You're either saved because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have him as your Saviour, as your Lord and Saviour, or you have not received of the gospel, the good news, and you're unsaved. There are those who are righteous or those who are in a state of wickedness. It's two states, state of righteousness or a state of wickedness, which is rebellion against God. Let's have a look at Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. This is a very serious couple of statements here in Mark 16. This is Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He uses the word damned. So we see that the church, believers in Christ, are to go into all the world. World, as we know, is made up of those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And so the gospel, which is the good news that there is a Saviour who has paid the price, who was made sin for us, made a curse for us. He took on sin and all its effects. That's the gospel, and it has to be preached to every creature. That's every believing creature in the world, okay? So people have a a choice. And the choice is to either believe the gospel, he that believeth and then go on to be baptized shall be saved. So being baptized in water is going on and being obedient in God. In other words, you continue in your believing. But there's only one reason why people would be damned. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So you don't believe the gospel. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Saviour. You may have heard that preached. You may have heard that taught, but you don't believe it. And the Bible says you shall be damned. It's a very clear statement. A very clear statement. So this thing about damnation and being damned is related to hell. And we see this in the particular scripture, Matthew 23, verse 33. Let's have a look at that. Matthew 23, verse 33. We'll just concentrate on one part of this scripture. Now, Jesus is talking to hypocrites here. Of course, hypocrites are in the realm of the unbelievers. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" So, damnation is talking about a sentence. Being damned to hell is talking about what is the sentence against sin. Alright? Damnation of hell is related to what we just read before. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the sentence. We'll see more about that sentence in a minute. Because those who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what hope have they got? They're dead in trespasses and sins, which separates them from God. So, damnation of hell is talked about there. It's a state where people remain in condemnation because of their sin. They have not had their sins dealt with. They have not been washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all very serious and very important for us to take hold of. We went on through on Sunday through the gospel, and we won't look at it again, in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 to 8. But 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that Christ died for our sins. Now, he was God manifest in the flesh. He is God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. If God came to earth and died, and his precious blood was shed, that is a serious thing, not to be ignored. Not to be ignored. So Jesus talks about, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? We know that there is an escape from the damnation of hell, and that's through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, access to the Father is through Jesus. We won't turn to it, but John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is the one way to the Father. So it's very serious, and the gospel requires a choice to be made to repent of sin and to turn to God and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in more detail when we turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we'll look first of all at verses 16 to 18. Then we'll go to verse 36. So John chapter 3, 16 to 18. We're looking at why was hell created. So first of all, we need to see that hell is a place where the condemned go. And it's a place where the manifestation of the wrath of God is because of sin. You see, sin cannot be allowed into heaven. There wouldn't be heaven if there was sin there. Does everyone understand that? So sin cannot be allowed into heaven. it has to be dealt with so that people can have access to the Lord. So looking at John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, first of all, once again we see choices involved here on those who hear the gospel. Starting verse 16 of John chapter 3, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's just look at that for a minute. We've heard this a lot. This is one of the most quoted scriptures on the planet. God so loved the world. In other words, the people in the world, he didn't want to leave in a perishing condition. So he gave a solution. And that solution is that he gave his only begotten Son. Begotten talks about special birth. Okay? Where God was manifest in the flesh and he had that special birth so that he could have pure blood. Pure blood. The blood of God, the Bible tells us in Acts 20. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," that's a choice, and if you believed in him, then you're saved. And you have, as it says there, everlasting life. And you're not going to perish and be under the damnation of hell. Now that's a good thing. We have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a good thing. Praise the Lord Jesus for that. Verse 17, "For God sent not his world into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So you see, the world was already condemned because the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. So it wasn't necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to condemn the world. It's already condemned. But that the world through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, might be saved. Can you see that through him is very important? Through the Lord Jesus, through him might be saved. So if you don't come through him, you can't be saved. Through him might be saved. Now notice what it says in verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Now that's wonderful. The condemnation of sin is no longer on you when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So that tells us that if you don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, you stay in a condemned state, and that promise in Mark 16 applies. "He that believeth not shall be damned," and that's the damnation of hell. Now if you go over to verse 36 in that same chapter, there's some wonderful news here, but there's also some bad news for those who don't believe. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's present tense. Once you are born again, you have everlasting life. Your everlasting life, your eternal life starts then. It doesn't start when you die and go to heaven. It starts now when you start believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a saved person. You have everlasting life. And everlasting life is of course a quality of life, living forever with God in his kingdom. So eternal damnation is living forever without God, outside of his kingdom. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Notice that. The wrath of God abideth or stays on a person who believes not. We do not believe in extinction of people. That is, some people think that if a person doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will one day just be zapped out of existence. That is not what the Bible teaches. And death is separation. Death is not extinction. So, when you physically die, your inner man separates from your outer man. The Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead. And that's pretty easy to understand. Death is separation. So physical death is separation of your inner man from your outer man. Okay? And there's what the Bible calls the second death. That's a separation of you from God in hell, abiding and staying in hell with the wrath of God abiding on you, and you stay in that separated state because hell is a prison. It's a very serious thing, because the wrath of God abideth on them, or stays on those who do not believe. So, and we won't turn to it, but Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We read before that Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The salvation that's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ is not to be neglected. We should be praying that we come across as serious when we're speaking to people about this whole area, because I think a lot of times it can come across to the unbelievers, oh, it's an optional extra whether you believe on Jesus or not and become a Christian. No, it's a life and death thing. So we don't, as believers in Christ, we don't and have not neglected that great salvation provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look at Psalm 9 verse 17. Psalm 9 verse 17. Now, the word hell is used many times right through Scripture. Whenever it's used, it always refers to down, not up. So we know that the earth is a globe. We're not flat earthists. We know that the earth is a globe. So when we talk about down, we're talking about the middle of the earth, spiritually where hell is located. And scientists will tell you that as you go down physically, it gets hotter and hotter the deeper you go into earth. So in other words, the physical is reflecting the spiritual there. Now, you know that physical things can be connected to spiritual things. You know that because if I walked from here over to that door, is my inner man connected to my outer man walking with me? Yes, it is. So if it wasn't, then I would die because my inner man would be separated from my outer man. So in a similar way, God has designed it so that hell is connected at the moment to the middle of the earth. So looking at Psalm 9 and verse 17, let's look at that one, Psalm 9 and verse 17. We read, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And we just quoted before, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now remember, wickedness is not just, oh, those people have done evil and bad things. Wickedness is a state of the heart. Okay, just like righteousness is a state of the heart. So the wicked shall be turned into hell, that is those who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and received Him as their Saviour. and all the nations that forget God. So is hell a real place? As far as the Bible's concerned, hell is a real place. A real place that exists. It's real. Look at 2 Samuel 22 verse 6. Now there's quite a lot we could say about the nature of hell. I suggest, and we will do more sermons on this, but I suggest that you listen to the sermon on the website, Biblical Answers About Hell. Okay, so there's quite a lot in that particular sermon on what hell is like. And I just want to quote this particular scripture in 2 Samuel 22 verse 6 because it talks about the nature of hell in this particular scripture here. 2 Samuel 22 verse 6. So first of all, if you think about being with God and God being with you, you think about blessing, love, joy, peace, all that type of thing. If you think about you don't have God in your life, all of that's not there. And that's part of the torment. 2 Samuel 22, verse 6, let me quote this. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me or kept me back. So the sorrows of hell. Hell is a place of sorrows. Other scriptures such as, won't turn to, but Luke 16 talks about the torment of hell. Place of torment. And I just said to you before that if you're separated from everything that's blessing and love and peace and joy and so on, think about the torment associated with that. So Luke 16 talks about hell as being a place of torment. It's an actual place that exists, a place of torment. And prior to Christ being raised from the dead, in the innermost part of the earth, there was a separation between paradise and hell. And then when Christ was raised from the dead, and it's a biblical doctrine, hell stayed there in the middle of the earth, but paradise, which had all the Old Testament saints, was raised up, and now they dwell in heaven. In other words, paradise was relocated to heaven. So eyewitness accounts of near-death experiences, there's quite a lot in this area, suggest that hell is not a figment of someone's imagination, but is in fact a prison for renegade spirits, that is, those who have rejected the Lord God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a big question to ask. The salvation being provided by God manifest in the flesh and going to the cross and taking sin and the curse of sin upon himself. And that's the sin of the whole of mankind. We cannot fathom that. But he did it for us, for you and me, made it personal. So we can believe on the Lord Jesus and take advantage of that salvation that he has provided. We've not neglected it. Glory to God. So we're starting to understand why was hell created. Matthew 25 gives us more of an insight as well. In Matthew 25, we'll read verses 41 to 46. In Matthew 25, Jesus makes a particular statement here that we need to take to heart. So Jesus talked quite a lot about hell. The way some people think, it's like he never even mentioned the subject. But that's not the case at all. He talked quite a lot about it. So Matthew 25, starting from verse 41, And he's talking to the cursed or the wicked. And this is what he says. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, from into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So who were the first creatures that sinned? The devil and his angels. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. So Lucifer, the Bible tells us, was that perfect angel. He fell because pride got into him and he wanted to exalt himself to the throne of God. And he became Satan, and Satan means the adversary or the enemy of God. So we see that the devil had to be, or there had to be a place, and certainly it's a place of future incarceration for him. A place called hell was created to keep him forever locked up. The devil and his angels. Now, I won't go into detail about how many angels fell, but certainly he led a large section of the angels in heaven to become what we now know as devils or demons. So notice he says to the cursed. Who are the cursed? Those who don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you either have God as your father or Satan as your father. Okay? So those who are not born again have Satan as their spiritual lord. We know that in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, which talks about the god of this world, little g, god of this world. So they have Satan as their spiritual lord. And they have Satan as their spiritual father. That's stated in both John 8:44 and Colossians 3 verse 6, which talks about the children of disobedience. So it's a very serious thing to understand, because we as believers now have God as our Lord, okay, and we have the Heavenly Father as our spiritual father. Can you see the big difference? There's a relationship difference and there's a nature difference. We have now been changed from being sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, to being the righteous who are alive with Christ. So it's very different, isn't it? So the righteous and the wicked, or the just and the unjust, or the unsaved and the saved, those two categories, men and women are put into those categories. That's just the reality. Now, we see that if Satan was going to be incarcerated into hell, then everyone attached to him will be as well. So we see, and we'll continue with verse 41 onwards here. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That tells us that hell is everlasting. Prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was and hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. Now think about that. Jesus is talking about himself, yes, but the body of Christ. Because he said to Saul of Tarsus, why are you persecuting me? And he'd been persecuting the church. In other words, you persecute believers, you're persecuting Jesus. So what were these people doing in their life? They were neglecting Christ completely. They weren't thinking about him. They were setting him aside. Verse 43, I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, talking about the righteous here, ye did it not to me. So they completely neglected Christ in their life. They did not turn to him, did not believe on him. And what's the condemnation or the judgment? Verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, it's black and white. It's not I'm half saved. You know, one person said to me, oh, they're not as born again as we are. Well, you can either be born again or you're not born again. One or the other. You're either saved or not saved. I pray that you understand this. You either go into everlasting punishment, where the wrath of God is abiding on you because of sin not dealt with in your life, or you go into life eternal as a righteous person whose righteousness has come as a gift from God. You did not earn your righteousness. That came as a gift. The gift of righteousness the Bible talks about, that's been given to you because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, also in answer to this, why was hell created? We can look in Revelation 4, verse 11. I know I've been going through a lot of scripture, but I think it's very important for you to grab hold of this. You can get the recording later and listen to it again for yourself and perhaps give it to others. Revelation 4, verse 11 talks about why did God create? Why did God create? And Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So man was created for God's pleasure. Can you see that? Lucifer was created for God's pleasure, but it didn't please God when he was filled with pride and tried to take over heaven. Of course, he didn't have a chance. The Lord cast him out very quickly. So you can see that anything that's not going to give the Lord pleasure doesn't fit in to the purpose of his creation. And this is important for us to grab hold of. A person's function in creation is to give God pleasure. So take that deep into your heart. A person's function on the earth in creation is to give God pleasure. Now, as a believer in Christ, it's, you know, you please the Lord to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as your Lord and Saviour. You have not neglected that salvation. And then as you walk in the truth, which is what we talked about on Sunday, you walk in the truth, then you are walking in his will, doing what he wants you to do on the earth. That's going to give him pleasure, is serving him. Glory to God. Just two more scriptures. Two more scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 8 and 9. Let's look at this one. Now, I haven't addressed what some cults talk about soul sleep. They believe that the soul goes to sleep after death. It doesn't go into the damnation of hell and torment. But that is addressed in another sermon called Biblical Answers About Hell, which is on the website. So I will address that in future sermons as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. So the Lord is showing us hell exists. It's not a fictional place. It's not unbiblical to say that hell exists. We must in the gospel not just talk about people receiving Christ to be saved, but also explain to them why they need to be saved. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 of 2 Thessalonians says, in flaming fire, talk about, well, let's look at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So notice it talks about people not obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel says, believe that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour. Repent of your sin, receive him, and you will be saved. There's a bit more to it, but it's all around the gospel comes, you believe it, and you obey it. In other words, you're not neglecting it. So you need to do something when the gospel comes to you. You can't just say, well, I'll forget about it. And it says, who shall be punished? Because this is all those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know God. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction. Now that destruction is not them being destroyed and ceasing to exist. It's destruction of their function as giving glory or giving pleasure to God. So they no longer are giving glory or pleasure to God. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. So they're no longer in God's presence. God is merciful. And from the glory of his power. Now verse 10 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Saints are those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Isn't that wonderful? We who believe, we admire and love the Lord and glorify him. It'd be quite different from those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last scripture, Deuteronomy 32, verse 22. Deuteronomy 32:22. I know it's a fair amount of scripture tonight, but I pray that it's gone into your heart and you believed it and you see the seriousness of the gospel and the seriousness of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 22. This is God speaking. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Yes, hell has levels. I won't talk too much about that, but there is a lowest hell for the worst of the worst sinners. And shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. So until the Lord Jesus Christ finalizes this present evil and wicked world, hell is increasing. Okay, many people going there. And until there's a new heaven and new earth, which is created after the millennium, then there's still going to be people in the middle of the earth incarcerated in hell. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for saving us through the Lord Jesus Christ by his precious blood. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us opportunity to receive and believe on Jesus, and that now our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We praise you, Lord, for that. Father, we ask that you use us to reach the lost. Give us opportunities. Let doors be opened. Give us a mouth to speak your wisdom. Give us a heart to know you more and to know your word more, and to be able to speak the scripture, the word of God, to people, not just our own thoughts or ideas, but your very word. Help us, Lord. We want to do your will on this earth. We want to give you pleasure. Help us in that, Lord, in Jesus' name.